You are listening to Let's Go JoJo, the weekly JoJo's Bizarre Adventure podcast from Dynamite in the Brain and Secret of the Sailor Madness. On today's show, we have Niall Flanagan.
Buenos dias.
Anthony Askew.
Good afternoon.
Dwayne Maloney.
Hello.
And me, Brian Smith. This week's episode, Setsalesi Part 2. But first, the week in JoJo's news. First up, they are releasing JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, the Anthology Image Song CDs.
Oh,
there are three of them. CD 1 will be Tominaga Tommy Hiroaki. That's April the 22nd. CD 2 will be Coda. And that will be May the 13th. And the last one, CD 3, will be Jin Hashimoto. And that will be May 27th. And they're each themed around each of the parts that they did the theme tunes for. I think, as best I can understand, that they'll each be a version of the current theme song, but just with them soloing it.
I would like to hear the two iterations of that, actually. I think
three iterations. There are three CDs.
Oh, gosh. Wow. There we go.
Maybe the song will work out better when it's split into its three constituent parts.
Then you can get three CD players and put them all together, and it'll sound just
I don't know whether you get the theme songs or not. And I think it's like four tracks and four karaoke versions of those tracks will be on the CDs, as best as I could understand from my Google translated news item. On March the 4th, the last part of JoJonium Phase 1, the last part of that came out in Japan, and that's now completed parts 1 to 3 of the manga in the larger format. And that's the version they're releasing of part one and part two in America.
Okay. Best possible version.
Yeah. Okay, the current JoJo's radio show, which is Aura Radio, has been nominated for Best Benefit Radio in the first Annie Raggi Awards. I don't know what Best Benefit Radio is. I think it's like promoting a specific TV show.
Where's our award then? Where's our fucking notice for this, huh? Didn't you make it a look in? Some people, I don't know.
Next item in the news, there's a statue of the young Mao Zedong, which looks like Araki, the creator of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Further, obviously, adding to the meme that he's immortal.
Definitely. Although, Waff would explain then the images of Mao Zedong when he looked older. Unless he was a double.
Yeah, it's replaced. And the final bit of news was that Nogizaka 46, who apparently are the official rivals of AKB 48.
I didn't know they had a rival.
Are they vampires?
Anyway, one of them
stands based off a tarot deck.
I did not say in the news item. As this was advertising a swimsuit photo book, I suspect not. Vampires aren't big for being photoed in the sun. But in the sun and also being photographed.
I was about to say
two things.
Photography, Brian. You forget.
Oh yes, spirit photography. That would do the trick. Anyway, Nanase Nishino is this member who's promoting a photo book at the moment, and she revealed on a TV program that her secret hobby is reading boys' manga. And whether this is true, because this seemed the choice of the manga almost seems specifically chosen to target the hosts of this podcast. So the first article I read, her two favourites are JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and Silver Fang. And then another article, she also mentioned Hunter Hunter, Dragon Quest, and Pew Tofuku Jaguar.
Well, which is
a comedy manga by the same guy who did Sexy Commando.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
It's like a guy who was just playing, is it the flute or something?
It's a recorder.
Recorder even. And it's like, you will be my friend, you will play the recorders off. And no, I won't, you fucking weirdo, get away from me. But he has to go along with it anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the news. Anyone else got any news?
No, I think that's a good set of news.
That's what I thought as well when I was going.
Better than last week.
Oh,
sorry, last the name choose. Of the radio, the statue, and the fact that her choices of manga, or maybe her manager's choices of manga for her to say, were so best. Spot on our taste.
Obviously, they're listening in to us, listening in the Dynamite and Brain, thinking they're mad at us every week.
Or we just fall into the demographic that they're aiming that music at.
Nah, I said, don't want to keep my finger on the pulse of what's hip and cool with the people right now.
Or aiming her bikini photo book act.
They know something.
They know something. Yes. Okay, on to the synopsis of this week's episode, and I believe it's my turn. So we get a recap of last week's episode at the start of this week's episode. Because it was really needed. I think if you're coming in blind, you would have been really confused.
Well, that happens.
So, previously, Polnareff had been turned into a baby by the stand Set, which was owned by a creepy man called Alessi. And so a woman had picked him up, taken him home, given him a wash, was in the middle of washing his hair, when she suddenly disappeared, and all of a sudden it was Alessi washing Polnareff's hair. Dun, dun, dun. What is going on? So Polnareff is panicking, wondering where the woman's got to. And Alessi decides, I know how I'm going to kill Polnareff, this child. I'm going to drown him. First of all, he takes care of Silver Chariot by pinning the stand against the wall with the axe that his stand's carrying. And so, yeah, he spends minutes seemingly drowning a small child. Polnareff can't think what to do. His arms aren't long enough to fight back. So he tries to pull the plug out, and then Alessi blocks the plug hole with Polnareff's spiky hair. And then Polnareff realizes there is some part of his body he can use to fight back with, and takes a shit in the bathtub.
But it was blacked out, so I wasn't sure what it might be.
Well, Alessi wasn't sure what it might be either, to begin with.
Well, I sense it for him too.
They could be that color. Obviously, again, as I've mentioned before, Polnareff was hitting the Guinness last night, hitting the stout, and it does that to your poop.
So this allows him to get free, and he discovers, he's asking where the woman's got to, and Alessi says, oh, be careful, we might accidentally tread on her. And it turns out because she was in contact with the stand for longer, the shadow that Alessi has as his stand, she has been reduced to a fetus.
I didn't see that
reveal
coming.
Was super gross.
It was. I was worried for her.
Also, fetuses make the noise, ooh. So.
That's what we learned. So, Polnareff picks her up, flees to a room, locks himself in. But he can't escape because he's hit the shadow again, and he's now 4 years old.
Yes.
And at some point, I can't remember where it happened, but Silver Chariot gets de-aged separately from him and to 2 years old, doesn't it?
No, I think it stays the same age as him because he's three by the end of it.
Yeah, he gets hit as four, then he must get.
Yeah, they mentioned
though
that he's two though at some point in the dialogue.
Is it because the shadow was holding him down? That was really.
I don't know. Or it was a translation mistake. Anyway, so yes, there's all these objects. He can't break through. The Silver Chariot's not strong enough to break the bars in this window. But then Alessi breaks in doing a Jack Nicholson impression from The Shining. And he gets in there and he can't find Polnareff anywhere. There's all these places that he could be hiding. And he goes through a very elaborate trying to trick Polnareff, but do it again, his cunning plans, as we learned last episode, and we'll learn again later on this episode, are not very convincing. So he ends up smashing everything up in the room, and he still can't find Polnareff. And then he sees there's a fish tank, and a fish suddenly disappears. So he bends over to look at it, and there's this ball floating at the top of the fish tank, and then two eyes appear out of it, and Silver Chariot stabs him in the nose.
I want him stabbed in the eyes.
And, Polnareff had been hiding in the fish tank. He'd taken the mirror off the wall, put it in the fish tank, was hiding behind that, and his head was in this ball, and the lady's fetus was sitting on top of his head.
I didn't see it coming.
We get a diagram explaining all that.
Thankfully.
Yeah, I was wondering, was it one of those, you know, those things in magazines where it's like, oh, spot the difference kind of pictures or like
it a is
memory
a bit like
game
that,
thing.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute, one thing is missing in this room. It was the mirror kind of
thing. I thought I was playing Professor Layton for a minute. I was like, except Professor Layton never just decides, oh, I can't figure out this puzzle. I'm just going to smash everything in.
How am I going to find and murder this small child? I didn't play it too well in most markets, so they took that part out of the game.
Yes, so Polnareff decides, oh, well, while this can't cut through metal, it can slash your face to smithereens. And so he joyously beats the shit out of Alessi's face with Silver Chariot, and Alessi is panicking because he's being beaten up by a 4-year-old boy and flies out the window.
He had poop on his face recently.
Yes.
That could get infected.
Ooh.
He flies out the window right into the feet of Jotaro. And then he panics again and he thinks, calms himself down, comes up with an amazing plan which will surely convince Jotaro that he's not doing anything suspicious. And what's the story he comes up with? It is,
oh no, the house went with someone mad at me. I was supposed to be cleaning the windows and everyone broke the window and I fell down. Oh man, I'm gonna get fired for this. I hope I don't get fired, and so on and so forth.
It is a pretty good vocal performance. And there's been ones which have been more notable for just how bizarre they are. But I think in terms of acting, bad acting.
Yeah.
Unless his voice actor is doing a tremendous amount of work. Yeah. Then Polnareff sticks his head out the window and says something about him being a perverted man. And he can't remember Jotaro's name, which distracts Jotaro for a moment. Excuse me, losing my voice. Allows Alessi to attack Jotaro with his stand, which de-ages Jotaro to a child as well. Not quite as young as Polnareff was reduced to. And then he thinks, ah, I've got them now. Jotaro can't use his stand because he never had his stand when he was a child. So I'm going to kill him. Unfortunately, he neglected to do his research. And of course, we know from the very first episode that Jotaro was a hoodlum and a thug and a
bad
ass boy. And he just beats the shit out of him as a child.
Perfect. That scene.
Knocks him unconscious, which get the stars flying around his head, which then explode. There's a nice visual representation of the stand's power wearing off. And then he comes to with adult Jotaro and adult Polnareff standing above him. And then Star Platinum and Silver Chariot lean in with grins on their faces.
as much as a suit of armor can grin anyway.
Yeah. But Star Platinum's doing enough for both of them. And they send him flying.
He must take
the
worst
beam. When they say he's retired now, they also have to mention, it's like, oh, and he's single.
Yes. You know,
so it's like a little extra burn there on top. Oh, dear.
Not only is he a child murderer and a coward and a merciless assassin working for
a
vampire.
Can't even get a girlfriend.
Joey, so what a loser. God.
poor guy.
And then the Podref wonders if the woman came to as well, which I was pleased that was clarified that he wasn't there, because otherwise she was just going to grow into an adult woman on top of his head. So apparently he'd left her somewhere safe while he went to deal with Alessi. And she's wondering what happened to that brave and manly boy.
Manly boy.
Manly boy.
She can only remember him defending her as a child against a fully grown man. So apparently quite aware as a fetus.
Yes.
Other than that.
And she rushes out. She finds Polnareff's earring that had got left behind in the tussle, and asks if they've seen a boy. He looked like you. He got silver hair like you. And then Polnareff is very stoic but blushing, and says, "No, he did not see a boy."
It's so sad.
He's gonna walk away from this one. Yes. All he'll bring her is heartache and tragedy into her life. And also, probably totally going, oh man, I was so cool back there. I'm going to tell all the guys about this later.
And Jotaro gives him a friendly grasp of the shoulder as they wander into the sun and then get yelled at by their grandfather.
Classic.
And it takes 4 episodes, but they finally have breakfast.
Yeah, brunch now.
Well, brunch, yeah.
It's all this fighting going on.
Oh, man.
And so then they bring out the old Polaroid camera and smash it at this restaurant. And that shows them the location they will find Dio.
It's not very elaborate, the location. I was expecting something a lot more, I don't know, distinct.
Lovely villa in Cairo. I've got a vampire who can't walk the foot I want.
I guess so.
And you'll get a great reaction shot where Iggy looks incredibly nonplussed at this photo and what it means. And that's it. Then we get the next episode where apparently there'll be some gambling going on.
Oh, yeah. So excited. So bloody excited for that episode. But that arc, even.
Woman playing Young Jotaro had already played Young Jotaro in episode one, apparently, Natsumi Takamori.
So okay.
Initially I was thinking, is Jotaro going to become a really nice kid? Because when we saw a Holly's flashback of him growing up, he was always like, hey mom, how's it going? I was like, oh, that's just her view of him. He was always a little prick. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I think you've nailed it. I think that is definitely the case. But yeah, it was just so funny once he just started talking exactly as he would do normally. But
yada, yada, yada.
Woman doing the voice now.
This episode will not be topped. This episode of me.
Oh, yes, it will.
It had everything. Poop, a little boy's dick that they could have easily covered up in several scenes but didn't. Everything.
I didn't know what was going to happen as well, which for me, sometimes it's a clear-cut giveaway how something's going to be beaten, but the moment with the mirror in the fish tank, I didn't have a bloody clue.
Araki loves using like mirrors in ways that's like, I think that would kind of be more obvious.
Perhaps.
Similar to, what was it, the sun used them?
Yeah,
you'd see, probably see that.
I mean, like, at least that one was further back.
Yeah, well, like, if it's at like a slight angle, like you can like exclude a lot of what's being reflected in it. I tilted just so that it wouldn't be like you're looking into it now, you're looking into it like from the side, so you're not seeing your own reflection, dare we say, but you're seeing like, oh, so it was like miles and miles and miles of endless like desert that all looked the same anyway, so it wouldn't really make a huge load of odds.
But like in a room, how much adjustment would Polnareff have to do just to change the point of view? I guess the guy's too thick anyway to notice, so.
Yeah.
He was typically smashing things up in a murderous rage, you know, he's, or things on his mind then. I mean, any of us could have overlooked that if we were in his shoes, I think.
So he couldn't overpower a 4-year-old child, or was he 6? Whatever it was, anyway, a small child.
A small child. So, well, geez, he couldn't overpower a 10-year-old child, or what, at 8, when he first de-aged him.
I guess all those muscles are just for show on him. They're not, they're not functional. Oh, dear. Yeah, it was, his reaction faces were pretty great in this one as well. Him trying to find Polnareff in the room, and also just realizing there's crap on his face and all of that stuff. It's pretty great.
Got a bit of
That's right. He does the tongue thing.
Yeah. I love the way that he runs when he's chasing Polnareff down the hallway as he's trying to escape. He's just chasing him down, like skidding to a halt, and his torso was at like a 90-degree angle to the rest of his body. He's like, oh, you can't get away from me, Polnareff.
It got very Tom and Jerry, I found.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, talking of cartoon mice, did you see the tweet? I believe it was at Emma Bowers pointed out that young Polnareff appears to be based on Fievel from An American Tale.
Which, oh, I love that film. It just gets better and better.
So we found our a film connection then for this week.
Wait, was Fievel a French immigrant or?
No, they Russian. Were Polish, I believe.
I can't remember. They were, yeah, some Eastern.
Mouskowitz.
Yeah, I can't remember if they were Russian or Polish.
Could be Polish, I don't know.
That's for another podcast. I think we should do an episode of that.
Coming soon, Secret Center of Madness, Fievel, American Tales.
You three could do that. I'm not watching that.
I love that film. Oh.
Not a fan.
I'm more familiar with like the one where it's like a Western, and it was like the last role of Jimmy Stewart ever played.
And apparently in future installments, that's established as a dream, not even happening in reality.
What is the...
Fievel Goes West.
Oh, okay. I thought you were referring to this incident with Polnareff. Was
no.
Disregarded.
It was real. You saw it happen before your eyes, Anthony.
I'll link to that tweet, so I'll put it in the discussion so you guys can see the comparison.
It is Bobon, which means perfect. It explains
the pointy teeth.
Oh, yeah.
We discussed last episode.
Ill-fitting clothes as well, yeah.
Guile haircut could be his giant hat.
that's under the hat is a huge obviously. I did love how like Kid Jotaro looks hilarious now. He had the massive jacket on, and you can see the shoulder pads are obviously inside there. Jotaro is not as big as he would appear when wearing that trench coat. It's all shoulder pads, it's all trickery.
See, I was almost expecting it that he had actually dodged the shadow and he just dropped on his knees.
I thought that for a second. I did think that.
And then when Alessi got up, he was going to get a surprise.
That would have been amazing. But it was nice. Like, generally, it kind of goes like, well, Jotaro will just come in there with Star Platinum and kick everyone's asses. Like, no, he could have just done that himself at any stage. He was that badass as a kid. Or I guess Alessi sucks that bad.
Yeah, he's a coward. He's a nasty. He's terrible. He's a good villain. Damn good villain, I think.
Yeah. It's like the second most cathartic beatdown received by a villain since Steely Dan.
Yeah, that's true. But Steely Dan was just such a massive shit that he managed to be more annoying than a child murderer, worse than a child murderer.
It's hard to top. I occasionally, that's one of like the top view clips for Trashers on YouTube, and I occasionally just pull it out once in a while to feel like good about my day. It's like, because he gets like two quick flurries, and one, two, another flurry, and he gets put through a fucking building then afterwards. I think Leslie got up easy, but doing the whole, you know, getting knocked off into the horizon and turning into a twinkling star.
Apparently he survived because it did say retired rather than, you know.
Early retirement because he's never going to walk again.
Oh, it was
so of this lot, is it the sword who suffered the worst fate so far?
Yeah, because he can't retire kind of to nothing. He's there forever. Presumably.
Well, eventually he'll rust away.
He's going to have a slow, agonizing death at the bottom of the Nile.
I guess he won't feel anything. But yeah, that is kind of existentially terrifying.
Yeah, it'll still go insane long before. Or it depends, like, how much of the sword needs to be there to constitute how is the stand? Is a stand house in every atom of the blade, or does it need to be like a certain, like, is he going at the grade down to like the simple molecule, can he be trapped in there forever, she can't move?
It was a jeweled blade, so maybe the jewels might last a little longer. Mm. Yeah.
Questions we'll never have answered.
Because no other stand goes by that rule of stands.
Yes.
Anything else you want to talk about on this episode?
Just a sweet moment at the end where it's like, Polnareff, tell her, you know, just...
You'll finally have a girlfriend.
Yes.
Do it, man.
Really? It would be a bit weird.
I guess so.
I was a little kid and you washed my dick. Hope it's cool. Do you want to go out sometime?
Well, she was being super weird too. She was like, oh.
Yeah, that was kind of creepy.
Wow, what a manly young boy. I mean, I hope to come up and see him again.
Like, she's the kind of woman who finds a lost child and takes it home and washes it. I think she's not interested in fully grown men.
Ooh, no, I don't know. I think it's a sweet moment, and Polnareff is just so badass at that. And it's sweet. It's a nice way to end it.
But I guess Polnareff is just a magnet for child predators, you know, Alessi, the lady.
Oh, I did like the other the meta thing of... Alessi saying, it's like, a main character totally shouldn't take a shit on the bad guy. That's not cool.
What else did I have written down here? Oh, yeah. There wasn't a Polaroid camera trying to, ascertain the location. And I liked how, like, everybody in the restaurant stopped and says, what the hell are these guys up to? This, like, that guy just smashed a camera, cracked up with a camera on top of the table right there. The guy, the minute he comes by, hey, what's going on here? And I was like, nothing's going on. Go away now.
Yeah, the shot of the... I kept looking at the dudes in the background of the restaurant just kind of trying to eat their food and going like, the fuck did that dude just karate chop a camera?
That's one of those new Polaroids.
Jeez. Those are expensive.
What's that guy thinking? These are good, but again, like, as I've been saying, I think for this entire season, so looking forward to next arc, Daniel and Jade Darby.
Better be good. You've been talking about this for some time, and
Stan Gamblin. well, you know, like, you know, I'm a big fan, like, one gambling manga and gambling anime, so this is like, I love to see, like, those two hands come together, JoJo and gambling anime.
It's a good mix.
We'll end this week's episode of Let's Go JoJo before Niall gives any more away of what happens next week.
Best episode yet.
So be back here next week for what will apparently be the best episode since this week's episode.
Yep.
It'll be Darby the Gambler Part 1. And in the meantime, check out our regular podcasts at secretofthesailormadness.blogspot.com and at dynamiteinthebrain.com. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Sweet.
With the hump, fat girls, thin girls, some a little plump, slave girls sold here 50 bob a lump in the old bazaar in Cairo. Brandy, shandy, beer without a prop, braces, laces, a candle for the moth, bet you'd look a dolly in an old loincloth in the old bazaar in Cairo. You can buy most anything, thimbles, fat cows, a little bit of string. You can purchase anything you wish, a clock, a dish, and something for your Auntie Fanny. Harem, scarem, what do you think of that? Benny's striptease dancing on the mat. Oompa, oompa. That's enough of that in the old bazaar in Cairo.